Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Pod.
We are a true crime podcast that also does all things spooky. And we are seriously invested in self-care. So, Danae, what did you do for self-care this week?
What did I do? We took the dogs to the park by our house after, well, it's kind of like sunset, so that there wouldn't be a whole bunch of distractions because our dogs are terrible. And we let them go off leash and we threw
to be the ball. Clear, they're very cute.
They're cute. They're not good listeners. Yeah. So we took them out and like played with them and let them chase the ball and wore them out. And I got like eaten alive by bugs, but it was worth it.
Is that where you got the arm one?
Yes, it's like a fucking welt.
Okay, Danae literally has an entire bug bite on her arm. Like, this mosquito, I think, probably like did serious like weightlifting or something.
It hurts.
It's just, I hate bug bites. Like, yeah. It's fine, it's whatever, but the big ones that, like, take over your entire body, you're like, yeah. What did this one look like? Right? See, yeah. The mosquito that beat up all other mosquitoes?
What'd you do?
Well, let me tell you. I did a walk, like, really late at night, which was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do it because also, like, our dogs aren't the greatest. They just, like, anytime we see anyone, like, Ruger wants to fight every dog. Not actually, I think he's, like, more excited, but he's literally like, I'll fuck you up, and we're like, okay.
People are, like, crossing people are like, the
street. Yeah, people are, like, walking away, and we're like, it's fine, he's just excited.
He just has a scary bark.
He does. Like a
which really scary bark.
I do appreciate it, though, because, like, then creepy people are like, alright, staying away from them. Totally. And, yeah, it was a really good walk until, Keith hurt his, ankle, and it's not broken, but, he is using crutches right now, so
yeah. Those pictures were gross.
We're doing a lot of self care for him. He's actually like, in the room right now, elevating. So I'm glad it's not broken. That would suck.
That would really suck.
But I told Keith, I was like, we're gonna go to a doctor because if this is broken and we're just like hanging around, it's not gonna be fun. So dealing with that. But it was a good walk up until that point because I did grab Ruger and like run to the apartment, go grab the car and. I don't know.
Keith's just laying on the ground, like,
yeah, with Aspen just chewing on a stick. I'm sure people are like, oh, stay away from the park, kids. I did run as fast as I could. I didn't run, like, gold on the ceiling fast, but, yeah. You know.
When we went to the Black Keys concert, like, we went to Red Rocks, and we had to park really far away. So Kim, of course, wore, like, flip-flops, as she does, to anything where we have to walk long
distances. I just want to make sure that we have to walk really far distances, and that I'm gonna not enjoy
just
my shoe choice.
Just wear the worst shoes possible. So we walk the whole way up, and the whole time she's complaining about how she has asthma, she, like, can't do this, and all this shit. Then
I have no stamina, that's my problem.
Then we, like, the Black Keys start, we go to the bathroom during a song, we were kind of like, okay.
We were dying at this point, because we were going to wait, but you and me were like,
let's go for it. So we go, and then Gold on the Ceiling starts playing, and I've never seen Kim move so fast. She fucking, like, was taking the Red Rock steps, like, three at a time, and, like, sprinting up the stairs, and I had to stand there for a second, like, I was just in shock. I was like, what the fuck? I thought you had asthma.
Oh, it took a while to recover from that. I definitely was like, like a good, like, 5 minutes.
I wish I had my camera, because, like, I've literally never seen you move so fast.
I know, I could probably be in the Olympics if I wasn't, if I didn't have that darn asthma. Like, that's the thing that sucks, is, like, I could probably be really active, but my asthma's like, no, settle down. I'm like, okay, you're right.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, you could just bring your, like, inhaler.
Yeah, I need one of those stuff.
Okay, well.
I'm an asthmatic without an inhaler. Yeah, that's like a metaphor.
Let's keep you calm.
It It's been going well. Things are going great so far. And I can see Keith almost break his ankle, and I'm not, like, panicking. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he'll grow out of it.
I wish that's how it works. Oh my gosh. So what story are we doing this week?
So this week, I'm so excited to tell you about this.
I'm really excited.
Is about a couple in Germany who were self-proclaimed vampires.
I've never wanted to hear a story so bad until right this
Okay, hold on. Look at the pictures. Okay. Look at the picture of this couple.
So just a side note, Danae and I send each other pictures, but we do it, like, right before we're about to record. And, like, I'll be like, hey, I'm sending you a picture of, like, the story we're talking about. Just because I think it always helps to, like, make the story better is when you can see it. But we don't look at it until, like, we're on, like, yeah. recording.
And we'll post these on our Instagram yes, as well. So
because
you can
we want
also
you guys to
all
see it. Wow, they're really, so, I'm glad they're together.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put
they're
it
like
that
the
way.
Perfect match.
They're definitely...
Perfect satanic match made in hell.
Yes. I'm just, it's a lot to take in.
It's a lot.
Why is she holding flowers?
So, let me tell you about these people. Meet Daniel and Manuela Ruda. So, this is, like, Germany, late 90s, early
2000s. Goth was, like...
Goth was, like, real.
Everywhere was, like, the thing.
Yeah. So, they are self-proclaimed vampires. Little background on the couple. Daniel thought of himself as superior to most people.
Wow, that's shocking. A white man doing that?
Shocking.
Sorry. That was really funny. I'm not gonna lie.
He had a taste for the macabre. He hung out with a satanic German goth community, and he just, like, really enjoyed being a neo-Nazi.
Oh, wow.
So those are some of his hobbies.
I mean, the vampire thing, cool, but, like, the neo-Nazi, I'm like, like, if he was like, I'm a vampire, I'd be like, okay, and then he's like, I'm a neo-Nazi, and I'd be like, I have to leave.
Goodbye.
Please drink my blood and not be racist.
He was also part of a black metal band called the Bloodsucking Freaks. But that didn't really pan out for him.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Oh, no.
But he was super into black metal, which if you've never heard of black metal, it's just, like, super dark. Kind of, I think it originated in, like, Norway. If you've ever heard of the black murder, or black metal cases of, like, this band, whatever.
I know it was, like, a European thing, because I feel like I've heard stories where there was, like, black metal, and it's always, like,
and
in,
it kind of
like,
has
Norway
a bit of a crossover with, like, neo-Nazi stuff. Like, it's dark.
It's not something you and me would be, like,
no,
ever
absolutely
into,
not.
Ever.
No. So at 23, he decided to really take a deep dive into Satanism. By August 2000, he was positive that he was Satan's chosen messenger.
Okay.
So, of course.
Here's my thing. If he was here, I'd be like, okay, what happened? Like, what did Satan say to you?
Right. So, well, he just decides that he's Satan's messenger.
Hey, me too.
So then he placed an ad in the classifieds of a black metal magazine called Metal Hammer. And this
is... I kind of love that name, though.
That was a great name.
Yeah.
This is how the art or the ad read. Black-haired vampire seeks princess of darkness who hates everything and has bidden farewell to life.
So dead?
So he's, you know, just, like, he's trying to casually date, you know? A princess of darkness.
You know, I did that once and it didn't work out for me.
You placed an ad in the classifieds?
Yeah, for, my prince of darkness.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, for real?
No.
What, do people do that?
I think in the 80s they did, but probably the 90s. I mean, think about, like, online dating. That was essentially, I think, like, the...
Yeah, this was
like
kind of...
Craigslist.
This is the way that people dated, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I personally like to go through friends, but, you know.
My
friends don't really have any, you know, Prince of Darkness types.
Yeah,
so
you gotta look elsewhere for
that.
You
gotta do what you gotta do.
So then, enter Manuela Ruda.
Okay.
She is 3 years younger than him. She's 20 at this time. She also enjoys black metal, so she sees the ad, and she's like, oh my god, love of my life. A little bit about her. She was a pretty normal kid growing up. She was a really good student. And then when she turned 13, she just, like, something switched. She became really angry.
Puberty.
Yeah, puberty. But, like, not in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that puberty's bad or good.
Like, we joke, but, like, that's too much. Like,
no, she started biting people in the streets. So, like,
what?
You know, I don't know. The hormones were going real crazy for her.
Yeah, good lord.
So she was biting people. At 14, she claimed that the devil had visited her, and she began to get, like, even more angsty,
oh,
and she started rebelling a lot. At 16, she dropped out of school and ran away to London. At 16, like...
At 16, I cried if somebody was mean to me. I wasn't running away.
I was
had a back brace, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, so...
So, she just, 16, like, up and leaves Germany, goes to London.
Okay.
And she also started getting into Satanism and black metal. So, she would go to these, like, vampire parties where people would cut their arms and then you could, like, lick the blood from each other.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, super sanitary.
I was about to say, that sounds like the most sanitary thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so...
Oh, God.
That was kind of her thing. Like, she was trying to find her place in the world. And she still felt like she didn't fit in London, so then she went to Scotland at 17.
Okay.
And she found another goth vampire crew, where they would also drink each other's blood, but they also, now they're starting to sleep on graves. Just right on top of the graves in cemeteries.
Okay, I have to say, like, because it's like, oh, that's crazy. Isn't that disrespectful to the person's grave you're sleeping on top
of?
Yeah,
it seems rude.
I feel like, yeah, that's like, I'm like, okay, like, that's strange, I guess. Like, but I also feel like that's super disrespectful,
yeah,
like, to the people, because it's like, you're just doing it for show. You're not doing it because you, like,
right,
you know.
And that's kind of her thing, is that she was described as very attention-seeking. She loved to,
yeah,
get photographed. Like, she would do things for the shock value.
Okay. So, I mean, I see why she does that, but, God, that's just so disrespectful.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she ends up going back to Germany because she still just feels like she doesn't really fit in anywhere. And she starts... Well, she was already kind of dressing really... extremely gothic. Like, she shaved her head.
I mean, all the stuff, like, you've told me, I'm not,
she was kind of, like, bald on one side, but had, like, an upside-down cross, like, shaved into her head.
I've seen people do that recently. Like, the girls who kind of, like, shaved one side.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't see it as often, but I know, like, in the 90s, like,
it's, like, kind of punk rock, but...
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, she starts dressing even more extreme. She actually got some of her teeth removed and had animal fangs
put
in place so that she would look the part of a vampire, because she truly thought she was a vampire.
Wasn't that expensive to do?
I would think so. I mean, like, where are you getting this money?
Yeah, you weren't, like, she was working really hard. She was so upset with work. Like, that's just what I'm like, that's fine, do what you're gonna do, but, like, how did you afford that?
Yeah. So, by October of 2000, she had pledged her soul to Satan.
As one will.
So, just a side note on Satanism, though, the Church of Satan was established in 1966 by this guy, Sanzor LaVey, in San Francisco.
That's a badass name.
Right? He,
yeah,
sounds like a vampire.
Yeah.
Sanzor?
That name right there, yeah.
Yeah. So, the actual members do not believe in Satan, nor do they worship him.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
You know, Satanism, it's...
It has a bad rap, but really,
it's not bad things when you,
no,
really, like, tear it apart. I think, like, the connotation, like, of Satanism, it's like, people are like, oh, you Satanist? It's like, it literally has nothing to do with the devil. It has a lot to do with, like, nature.
It does, and it's also,
kindness.
Like, Satan is viewed as a positive archetype. He's representative of pride, carnality, and enlightenment. So they focus a lot on individualism, which kind of... It seems kind of punk rock to me. Like, it's kind of like, fuck, like, organized religion, like, kind of thing. Like, think for yourself. Like,
I think that's great.
Yeah. And so basically, LaVey kind of criticized the Bible for the suppression of human instincts. So, you know, sexuality and yeah. stuff like that, like, kind of suppressing that and making it be like, oh, you're sinning for this. It should actually be celebrated. Like, this is normal. This is normal human things.
Think about all the people we've grown up with that, like, saw, like, wanting to have sex is, like, a really shameful thing. Totally. And it's, like, that's, like, in your DNA. Like, that's how you are as a human. Like, none of that should be shameful. But totally. I feel really sad because I think a lot of people do look at it as a shameful thing.
Yeah, there's, like, a stigma attached to it.
But I feel like as time goes on, sorry, I feel like that's kind of going away more and more. Like, you don't see it as much. Like, totally. I think in the, like, 20 years ago, yes, but I think, like, more people
not so
are,
much
like,
now.
Yeah.
Or, like, going away from it a little
exactly, bit. Which I think is a good thing, so. Yeah.
So, the Satanic Bible says that the concept of God is not an actual deity, but it's the Satanist's authentic self. So, this guy, Peter Gilmore, who is the current high priest of the Satanic Church, says that they are skeptical atheists. It all begins with atheism. And it's, Satan is basically the Hebrew root of the word for opposer or one who questions. So he says that it's indifferent, there is no God, there is no devil, no one cares. So they do a lot of things where it's like how, you know, a lot of Christians are trying to do like, okay, we should have like the Pledge of Allegiance in school. Satanism kind of, like, opposes that, and they're like, well, if we can, like, talk about God in school, we should also then talk about Satan. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, they're gonna be, like, everyone's against that, you
well,
know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's their point.
Exactly.
That's their point.
Yeah. Questioning everything is kind of, like, the big point.
Yeah. So that's just kind of, like, they do nothing to do with rituals. They don't do anything where they're expecting people to, like, use someone as a fucking, what do you call it? Sacrifice.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, that's different. Yeah, people, like, put, that's what's kind of upsetting is I think if people did a research, because, like, if people did research on it, they would realize that's not Satanism.
It's not
that's completely
is.
A separate religion.
Yeah, that is, or like, a
cult
or something.
Yeah.
So, it's very
See episode
much...
one, cult.
Right. It's very much, like, not talking about, like, they do not... condone ritualistic sacrifices. None of that is at all written in the Satanic Bible. They don't even talk about that. Like, it's just not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
So that's just a little bit of background on that. I don't really know. I think Daniel and Manuela's version of Satanism was a little bit more...
Where they did... like the devil, like they
it
have
was
their own
very much like devil worship. It was very much like their own version of their idea of how it should be, kind of thing. Like, I don't think they actually really read the Satanic Bible or anything like that.
Well,
I think
said she was attention seeking. That sounds like something that somebody that
it was
is
kind of their own like blurred version of make believe and reality. That
exactly,
they lived in.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So, anyways, their love story begins when Manuela answers his ad, Daniel's ad in the classifieds of the Black Metal magazine.
Okay.
So, they, like, really dive into their relationship. Like, things start going pretty quickly. They end up moving in together in Witten, Germany. And they decorated their apartment with skulls and torture devices.
Okay, quick side note. I have skulls all over my apartment.
Okay, me too. Yeah. But, like, think of, like, black walls and, like, have you seen Portlandia?
Yeah.
Okay, they're, like, the weirdos in Portlandia.
Jamie!
Yeah. That's exactly what their apartment looks like.
Yeah.
So, they are super into, like, their kind of occult, aesthetic, if you will.
Oh, sure.
Manuela even had a coffin, like a literal coffin that she spent most of her time in, and she would sleep in there because she's a vampire.
Okay, I move around a lot. You do you, girlfriend, but I don't.
I'm just, like, coffins are expensive.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she's got
Have
her
you
coffin.
Seen 6 Feet Under? Good lord, the prices are crazy.
So they end up getting married on June 6th, of course, you know, like 666 of 2001. So they only had 2 6s. And at that point, they're kind of like...
posers.
Exactly. Fucking posers.
Wait till 2066.
God. Then that'd be 4 6s.
Or wait till 2006. I don't know. Yeah.
So anyways, they keep coming back to this idea about how they need to give a gift to Satan. So to complete the third sixth of their... June 6th, and then they needed a third 6th. On July 6th, they decide they're going to put this plan into action to give Satan a gift.
I have a feeling it's not, like, going to be, like, an Instapot or, like, an air
fryer. That would be awesome. Like, Satan, here you go.
Satan, here you go. We saw it at Bed Bath & Beyond. We thought you'd like this.
What's the thing in the weirdos where they're, like, yeah, doing, like, vacuums with skulls on it or something?
That's why, like, I was, like, no. Bed Bath & Beyond. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great episode.
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, please watch it, everybody. Please, it's so great.
Okay, so they made a list of about 15 prospects that they are thinking could be a sacrifice to Satan.
That's what I figured.
And they literally wrote them down because...
So these were people, not, like, animals or anything?
No, these are people.
Okay.
They wanted it to be a person.
Oh.
So they settle on... sacrifice, I guess. Daniel's friend slash co-worker, Frank Hackert, a.k.a. Hacky.
How much would that suck if your coworker, I love all my coworkers, was like, time for you to go.
Right. Well, and it's sad because Hacky really was an open-hearted person, and he
of course
was very kind, he was funny, and he thought that everyone deserved the benefit of the doubt. So he befriended Daniel, even though Daniel was a super weirdo.
Why that kind of person? Why?
Right. Well, actually, why is because he's so funny that he'd be the perfect court jester for Satan. That's a direct quote from Manuela. That's why.
That's psychotic! Sorry.
It is psychotic.
Dear God.
Yeah. So, Hacky comes over to their house under the guise that they're having a dinner party.
Okay.
He gets there, and he's the only one there. And Daniel...
That is my literal nightmare.
Right.
When I go to a party where I don't know the people very good, and I'm the first one there.
Let me be a third, like, wheel to a dinner party.
Sacrifice me then and there, because I don't want to deal with the weird talk.
Yeah, so he gets there, he's the only person there, and, like, pretty quickly... Daniel hits him over the head with a hammer.
Well, that's good. He at least didn't have to have the awkward talk for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
love the cobwebs in your home.
You look so lovely. Really good color scheme you got going on.
Love the black on black on black.
It works.
So he gets hit in the head with a hammer. And the couple's main plan was to get him over there, kill him, drink his blood, and then commit suicide so that they could be welcomed into the gates of hell. And basically, I don't really know how this works in their mind, but they thought they would also be immortal. It doesn't really make sense to me if you're going to kill yourself.
I mean, I think they just kind of decided that.
It was just their own idea.
I mean, think about this way. Think about it this way. You're giving them a lot of credit. These are people who literally were like... let's just kill somebody for funsies. We'll be the court jester for, like, Satan.
Severely, like, mentally ill.
Like, yeah.
Some shit was going on.
Well, they both talked to Satan, so I'm sure they were like, when I talked to him, he said we'd have eternal life. You know? Like, obviously.
Yeah, they're having delusions or something. Yeah. So, yeah, he's on the ground. Then they stab him a ritualistic 66 times. And then they carve a pentagram into his chest, they collect some of his blood, and they drink it.
Of course.
So they're waiting for their immortal powers to kick in.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening. Because why would it?
My question is, what did they think was going to happen?
Okay, so what they thought was going to happen was that they would then have this, like, moment where they turn into vampires, okay. And they would feel it happening. Like, almost like a spiritual kind of situation where they're just like...
I'm just like, what does that entail? Like,
I don't know. So, shit's gonna be crazy.
I'm asking I'm trying to, like, have you, like, decipher
what their minds are doing. I don't know. They thought they were really gonna be
like, vampires. Like, Danae has all the answers to what these people are thinking.
And so, obviously, like, that didn't happen. And so then they panic. And they're like, fuck, this didn't work. And so they just hit the road and they go on a road trip to a whole bunch of cities in Germany.
Okay.
So they're, like, on the run now.
I guess it's, I mean, it's too late because that guy's gone, but I guess, like, it's good that they're like, oh, this was irrational, but obviously they're not gonna...
Yeah, I don't know. So, anyways, Manuela is on this road trip, and she wrote to her mother saying goodbye, and she, quote, says, I must liberate my soul from the mortal flesh, which, obviously, her mom is like, oh my god, she's gonna kill herself.
Yeah.
So she's all worried. She's freaking out. She calls the cops and has them go over to Manuela and Daniel's apartment.
For a wellness check.
Yeah. So they go over there and find the remains of what had happened. They find Hacky, and they're like, okay, they are on the run. We need to catch these people.
Yeah.
Because obviously they did it.
Yeah.
So, the couple is finally caught July 12th in, I'm not sure if it's Jena or Jena, Germany. It's J-E-N-A. Or maybe it's Jena. Maybe it's a soft yeah.
There's so many pronunciations, I'm sure.
I don't know.
No matter what you say, someone's gonna tell you said it wrong.
Yeah, so they were, you know, on the run for 6 days and then they got caught. Daniel claims that he has no memory of the murder.
Of course not.
But Manuela excitedly reports every single detail.
Oh, my God.
She's kind of an attention whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right when you said that, I'm like, sounds like her. I don't even know her. And I'm like, that's the girl we know. Yeah.
So, the trial was crazy. It almost seemed like they kind of got off on, like, being so eccentric and, like, kind of, they would pose for the camera. Like, media cameras, they were flipping people off. They were doing, like, the devil horns when they would walk in. They even were super creepy towards Hacky's family. They would stare at them.
That's disgusting. Like, you took this man from the world.
Yeah.
And you thought he was this great guy. Ugh.
Yeah. So they're looking at his family. They're, like, flicking out their tongues. They're licking their lips and just being, like... So disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
Yeah. Manuela, actually being the extra kind of girl that she is, requested that the court windows be blacked out because the sunlight hurts her eyes.
Oh, you best bet.
Oh, the sun!
I would put, like, mirrors. So it's like hitting her in the face. I'd be like, sorry,
mirrors. And also, you're showing up in the mirror, so you're not a vampire. Like, snap out of it.
I have multifunctions for this mirror idea. Right. Hear me out.
Yeah. So obviously the judge is like, no, thank you. We're not doing that.
Thank God.
But he did let her wear sunglasses.
So why, though?
Nicer than what I would do.
Okay, I guess I'm not rude because, like, they killed somebody, but I just want to watch them, like, not get these things and just watch what they did.
Yeah. Daniel had literally no remorse and pretty much kept to his story that the devil made him do it. He told this weird metaphor that was like, if I killed someone in my car and someone was on, you know, that person was dead on the hood of my car, it's not my fault, it's the car's fault.
You stabbed him 66 times.
Yeah, you lured him to your house.
Are you gonna pretend like that didn't happen?
Yeah, so he's just essentially like, I'm just like a vehicle for the devil, and the devil is the one to blame.
No, boo-boo, you're a victim for your, like, awful, awful thoughts. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So he clearly has a lot of issues. Daniel ended up getting 15 years in prison.
15?
Mm-hmm. Manuela got 13 years in the psych unit of the prison.
Why are they both... Okay, first off, 15 years is a goddamn insult. Yeah. And second off, why aren't they both in the psychotic unit? Like, the... Yeah. Psychiatric. Like,
They both need help.
They both need severe help.
Yeah. So, they were also ordered to never meet again. Good. And they were both diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they did have some pretty severe issues happening mentally.
Was it just narcissism that they were?
I guess. That's the only thing that was actually diagnosed.
Yeah.
They got divorced shortly after the sentencing. Daniel went on to write a book that pretty much, like, highlighted his mental illness. He went on to say that it was all Manuela's idea, like, he had nothing to do with it.
So, still no remorse.
No remorse at all.
I was like, oh, if he shows remorse, like, I'd feel a little bit of, like, that's good.
He's making progress.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because he released this book and he got it published, it pretty much led to a denial of early release, like, luckily.
Good.
Because he could have tried to get out a little bit early based on trying to be a better inmate or, you know, stuff like that.
Well, showing which that he's didn't made do. A turnaround, you know, yeah. I think that's big is, like,
being
when you show,
rehabilitated.
Like, yeah. Exactly. Rehabilitation, I think.
He was also completely unwilling to go to therapy. So he did remain in prison until 2017.
Hey guys, that's why therapy is good and you should not be unwilling to do it.
Yeah.
Just side note.
Yeah. Being healthy, like, physically is one thing, but also being healthy mentally is so important.
Mostly important. Like, think about it.
Because things like this happen when
you're physically
unwell.
Well,
when you're really having these ideas that you are truly a vampire and that you need to sacrifice your friend, like, you should
who ended up being who sounds like a really cool guy, mm-hmm. especially if like, people thought he was
and
funny.
Even if he wasn't a cool guy, like, you can't just do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Regardless of who the person is that you kill, like, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, killing is bad. So Manuela did end up going to therapy. She served her entire sentence. She has since been released, and she's apparently got a new identity. And she's out in the world. We don't know where she is.
Okay. I hope she's rehabilitated. She's out.
She started a new life. She's kind of... When they let her out, it was kind of like she is okay to rejoin society, but she was still also doing therapy, so...
Good for her that she actually, like, went through with it.
Yeah,
and
was willing to, like, make those kind of changes.
And I think it's great those two weren't able to remain, like, in contact with
each
other.
Right, because there was another, I think it was a psychologist, or several psychologists that commented that if they had not met, they probably would have both been, like, weird and eccentric. But because they met, they almost, like, fed off of each other's energy and, like, created even more of a delusion because they were both so into it. So it's interesting, like, what the mind can do when you have someone that is on the same page as you.
Yeah, like, feeding off of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard about a lot of, like, killers that come together and, like, they're awful on their own, but, like, when they come together, it's, like, dangerous.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So that is the story of the vampiric killers of Germany.
Oh my gosh, that's a crazy one.
Super crazy.
I've never heard that story before.
Right? I never heard it either, and I was just like, oh my god, what?
Ugh, that poor guy's family, I hope they, like, feel some sort of peace or something.
Yeah, they were really, trying to not let Daniel get released in 2017 because, I think the dad said, like, oh, this guy can walk free and I just get to walk to the cemetery to visit my son's
exactly,
grave.
Exactly. Like, his son's never going to be able to, like, walk on this earth and enjoy things like he did. And the only thing he did, unfortunately, was go to a dinner party with the wrong people.
Yeah.
The dad didn't feel anything towards, Manuela.
They didn't really specifically, at least from what my research was, I didn't see anything where they were specifically, like, I mean, I think they were obviously, like, upset with her, but...
Sure.
But they were really trying to, kind of oppose Daniel getting out in 2017.
Yeah, it sounds like she was taking more of the steps towards, like...
She was trying, at least.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is the weird and wild story of the vampire couple in Germany. And also, all of my resources and links to those resources are going to be in the show notes. Kim's done a really good job of citing all her sources at the beginning and ends of the episodes, but mine will be in the show notes.
That's crazy. And it just sounds like they didn't do their research on the religion, I use air quotes.
Well, I think they were just making shit up as they went.
Oh, yeah. That's just a lot.
Yeah.
I just am thinking of the couple from Portlandia. If you guys haven't seen the episode, it's so great. So you'll watch it and be like, yes. I know which one they're talking about. Ah, yeah. Oh, yes, it's them. But we would love to hear from you guys if you guys have any great ideas for self-care that you haven't heard any of us mention.
Or you have some really off-the-wall stories that you think we should cover.
We would absolutely love to hear from you. It's mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Or hit us up on Instagram at mysteriousmavenspod.
And we also have a website. It's mysteriousmavenspod.com. And we just want you guys to, like, just contact us and listen to us.
Say hi. Please. Let us know how you're doing.
Rate, review, but only if you rate us nicely, because we're sensitive, so.
Yeah.
Water signs, right? All right. Bye.
Bye.